Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful to see all of you here today. And if you're able, will you stand for the call to worship? The God who has made the world and everything in it.
The God who made us has revealed and made himself known to us. In Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord.
Let us join our voices and praise the living God, the God who is with us and working among us by the Holy Spirit.
We join our voices and praise the God in whom we live and move and have our being.
Let's join our God and King on page 62, and we'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 7.
Holy name. Nope, we're all set.
Oh, we did that. Well, I'm way ahead of myself. Pardon me.
Announcements.
Okay, I'm reading the announcements now.
Okay.
Remember, if you haven't signed up for any prayer requests for May, do that. Check the prayer request chart. Make sure you have your request posted. Here's a real important one. Don't forget cereal for Christian neighbors. List for May baskets on the back table. Please take one. Only 2 weeks left to bring in items for the May baskets. Christ asks us to love one another. Remember our shut-ins and make a phone call to them. Anna Barnes, Anna Grubbs, and Trudy Pineaxel. Are there any other announcements? Your turn, Pastor.
Thank you. Good morning. It's good to see you all. Unfortunately, we're not able to see anyone online because in this, at least the audio, so we'll have something. So, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there and those that act as mothers to others. We appreciate all that you do. Any joys or concerns this morning? Yeah, we have a joy with our daughter here. Alice? Any others? Well, I've got a few. Obviously, the first one is our daughter is visiting us this weekend, which we certainly appreciate. Secondly, we are out of the basement, finally. Our upstairs isn't done, but it's close. It's almost done, so we're able to be up there. Carmen's parents hopefully offer on Friday, and hopefully they'll sign their paperwork tomorrow. I do have a concern. The Wesleyan University in Middletown, Connecticut, founded in 1831, has decided that they are jumping on the pro-abortion bandwagon. They're hosting pro-abortion events, and starting this fall, they'll pay for contraception, reproductive health services, and elective abortions, including travel. I'm not sure how that works out in the Wesleyan scheme of things, but that's what they've decided to do, so I think we need to pray about that. Another joy, we have been living the large life this week. We've had dinner out 4 times. We're going to do it again today. That's pretty unusual. We've seen a number of friends and relatives. Last night we were at a wedding, Cassandra and in-law, and they had a great, we missed the wedding, misread the invitation, but we made it to the reception. It was really nice last night up in Spring Lake. And one of the reasons we missed the wedding was it was at 1 o'clock, and yesterday was the riverbank run in Grand Rapids. A friend of mine, Jim Gallagher from Marquette, has run in every one of those. So this was the 46th year in a row. So for the last 30 plus years, I've been his support crew, going around and giving him liquids and things to eat at a few different places around the track. So I was out doing that, and when that was over, around noon-ish, I found out we were supposed to be in Grand Haven at 1. And I would have to pick up Sherry to get there, so that didn't work out. But we had a great evening at the wedding reception. So, usually I'd like to invite you into a time of prayer. We'll start out with silent prayer. I'll lead us then in a pastoral prayer, and we'll close together with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time we're able to gather together and worship you. We're sorry that we're not able to broadcast the service to those that are shut in, but we are doing all that we can to make technology work to your benefit and ours. Lord, thank you for our opportunity to celebrate mothers today and all of those that fill the role of mothers to others. Thank you so much that for the love that they provide us, for the care and the keeping of us in upbringing, not only us earlier in life, but to our children and grandchildren. We're so appreciative of that. Father, we thank you for being a God that cares for us, someone that wants to be known to us, someone that's available to us, someone that loves us and will direct us in the right direction throughout our lives if we allow that. Thank you in directing us in the way that we should go. Help us continue to seek your will and follow your direction. Lord, we pray for all those that are suffering today in body, mind, and spirit, those on our prayer list, those that were mentioned this morning, those that are on our hearts and minds today and always. Lord, we pray that you will give them the healing that they desire, give them joy, give them hope as well. There's so much going on in the world right now, Lord, that is disruptive. We pray that you will be with those that are in powers or positions of power, that you will direct them to seek peace, to seek positive results instead of negative ones, to seek your will and your direction, and then to do it. It's so difficult in the news, things that are going against your will. Lord, we pray that you will guide and direct all of us to seek you first and then everything else second. That we will do everything in our power to understand what we should believe, where we should go, how we should live, and then do that instead of the other things that seem to be occurring today. Lord, we raise the issue on our southern border. There are people in need down there, but there are also people that are trying to take advantage of the situation. Lord, we pray that some type of solution, some resolution will come about so that the individuals that need help will get it, but at the same time, our border will be protected and our citizens will be protected. So that it doesn't seem like much is being done to solve the issue. Lord, we need your help in this. Guide us, direct us, be with our leaders so that they can fix this situation. All this we pray in the Lord's name. Now hear us as we recite the prayer that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please join me in singing number 2071, In the Faith We Sing.
Psalm 66 on page 5. And we're reading verses 8 through 20. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. For thou, O God, hast tested us. Thou hast tried us as silver was tried. Thou dost bring us into the net. Thou dost lay affliction on our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet thou hast brought us forth to a spacious place. I will come into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to thee burnt offerings of fatlings, the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. I cried aloud to him, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Our second reading is found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is right? But even if you do suffer for righteous sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of that. Reverence Christ as Lord Almighty. Be prepared to make offense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence, and keep your conscience clear, so that when you are abused, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing right, if that should be God's will, for sins once for all, the righteous with the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. Baptism was not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a clear conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers subject to him. The word of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Joanne. It's now time for our sing the doxology and offer up a prayer. Gracious Lord, we come before you to give you thanks for all the blessings you provide to us. Please accept these gifts in our very lives in your service in return. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We'll now sing For the Beauty of the Earth, verses 1, 4, 5, and 6, hymn 92.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Our message scripture this morning is Acts 17, 22 to 31, found on page 130 of your pew Bibles. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your inscription to an unknown God, what therefore you worship is unknown. This I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands. Nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit their existence and the boundaries of the places where they should live, so that they would seek or would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which we will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I stand here today, we are in the 21st century AD, the year 2023 to be precise, almost 4,000 years after the time of our message scripture. Actually, that's not totally correct, because that was 2,000 years ago. As such, we often feel that we're superior to people. Modern man, of course, has to be more intelligent, right? We've done more investigations. We've got more succinct science. We've got better technology sometimes. Not always. But when I look back on history, it's amazing to see how much they did know and how much they investigated and how open they were. We rarely take the time to look at how much we still don't know, however. We don't know how the universe was created, do we? We've got ideas, thoughts, some people have theories, but we don't know how it was created. We don't know its age. We don't know its limits. I remember when I was in college, I liked to think about, you've got the universe and everything. Is there an edge? Does it stop? Everyone thinks it expands to a certain point and stops, but if it stops, how can there be anything else? We don't know. We don't know how life was created. We don't know how all of its diversity came into being. Is it intelligent design or evolution? Well, today, most scientists feel it's intelligent design. They don't necessarily believe in God, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work on any level. We don't know the location of heaven and hell. A lot of people think they don't exist, but if they do, where are they? I know they're there. We just can't see them. We don't know exactly where they are. And we don't know who's in heaven or hell. How many beings are there? What different types? The Bible tells us quite a bit, but there's a lot to. We don't know the timing of the second coming of Jesus, which is the rapture. We don't know the timing of the third coming, which we call the second coming. It's a little confusing, but we don't know any of those things. We don't know of the possibility of life outside this earth. There's nothing in the Bible says it doesn't exist. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. We don't know. We don't know even how long each of us, individually, what will be the cause. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll be raptured. Who knows? Even some things as simple as what tomorrow has in store for us has us confused because we don't know. And on top of all of those things, you know, we don't know how to cure cancer or many other illnesses. We don't even know how to permanently erase all these wrinkles that we all have. We don't know how to avoid growing love handles that we all unfortunately have, or stop our hair from falling out. They're talking about not turning white, but I don't even think at this point we have any clue on how to stop that. There's just so much we don't know. When you actually think about it, even though our civilization's pretty advanced, there remains far too many things that are unknown. More things are unknown than known. Philosophers contemplated, debated, and struggled with during Jesus' time, which was reflected in their comprehensive religious practices of that day. I know I studied a lot of mythology when I was in school. Our daughter studied a lot of mythology as she was growing up because we had books all over the place. They wanted to make sure they understood how the world functioned and if there were gods, which ones are. And they didn't want to offend any god or any demigod or any titan or any other classification of god in their time. And so they built idols and they built altars and they wanted to cover all their bases. So they had over 3,000 deities that they had identified, but they were still concerned, have we covered everything? So they put up an altar, catch all. If we missed anybody, sorry, we'll worship you over here as the unknown. And this was what was going on when Paul arrived there. Prior to arriving, though, in Athens, Paul was in Thessalonica. And he was teaching and preaching there. And we had a number of people, but there were a large number that objected to what he was saying. And they started to riot. As a consequence, they chased him out of town. So he departed. He went to Berea. And in Berea, he was preaching and teaching there. And they had a large number of people that came across and converted to his message, worshiping the Lord. But the people in Thessalonica, the thing I can't pronounce, heard that he was in Berea, and they said, oh no, we're not going to let that happen. So they headed to Berea and started stirring up people there. So Paul, once again, had to leave. And he had to leave so quickly that he left behind Silas and Timothy, his buddies that he was traveling with. They were temporarily left behind as Paul headed to the coast and then to Athens. When he waited for his compatriots to arrive in Athens, he was distressed to see that the city was full of these altars and idols, you know, and dedicated to all of this plethora of small g gods. And he was concerned over all of that. So it was something he decided to discuss in the synagogue to both Jews and God-fearing Greeks. He was also discussing it in the marketplace with those that happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers heard him, and they were trying to say, and another remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. So they took him to a meeting of the Areopagus. And this is where our scripture picks up. The Areopagus is actually a massive rock formation in Athens near the Acropolis. Areopagus means Hill of Ares. But it was also the name of the governing council. Individuals took the name of this massive rock and decided that they would be the ones that would manage the city. So he was taken to them, and this is who he was talking to in our scripture. And they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? You're bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we'd like to know what they mean." In response, he boiled down the gospel into something that was both understandable and relevant to his audience. Read the scripture. He started out by acknowledging their religious nature. And then he mentioned the altar to the unknown God. And he said, "I'll tell you about that unknown God. He is real. He does exist. In fact, he is the God, the only God. He's the one that made everything, heaven and earth. He's not made of gold or silver or stone. He doesn't live in shrines made by human hands. He's not served by human hands. He controls everything. He even dictates where we live and how long we live. And now he's calling for you and everyone to repent, because he's fixed a day on which the world will be judged in its righteousness by a man whom he appointed, a man he raised from the dead." That's quite a message, isn't it? Can you imagine us first, these managers, these governors, people that are used to this concept of this whole pantheon of gods, and here is this new guy saying, "Yeah, well, you almost got it right by having an idol to this unknown God, but guess what? He's the only one. You can scrap the rest of these. This is the guy that you should be worshiping." Fortunately, the Greeks were very eager to learn. They were open to learning. Not like we are today. Today, we thought in the past that we were open to learning, but what happens today when you say something someone doesn't like? You get shut down, right? They're not going to listen to it. They're not open to hear new ideas. They're not open to new concepts. It's become their opinion is the only opinion. It's the only thing right, and they don't want to hear anything else. But the Greeks at that time were open to hearing more. And in many ways, we are open to more as well when it comes to things that aren't important. We're open to new concepts in technology. We're open to new concepts in business and finance. Unfortunately, some of that's gotten us into trouble over the years, like we are with our banking situation today. But what it points out, not only in our scripture, but three basic ways that we can learn more about that which we don't know. We get to know the unknown through a variety of things. The first is we stumble upon it. We have a happy accident. A lot of our inventions were happy accidents, weren't they? Or coincidences. They just happened to be there, and we found them, we saw what they did, and we took it from there. The second thing, the second way to know what is unknown, Psalm 66 said, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I'll tell you what he's done for me." That's a teacher. That's somebody that wants to share what they know. 1 Peter 3 said, "Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you in accounting for the hope that's in you." That's more of a defensive way of teaching, but still teaching. And that's the most important thing. People need to share positions, share new ideas, and let people know what the unknown really is. And the third way to know the unknown is that you search for it intentionally and you find it. Matthew 7 tells us, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." I remember as a kid, we had an set of books of the encyclopedia, right? A lot of you did. So one of the things I enjoyed doing was reading the encyclopedia. And I read it from A to Z. It was pretty interesting. I still do that today. I'm on the internet constantly looking at things, trying to figure things out. I want to know those things that are still unknown to me. And there are plenty. But the interesting thing about these three ways, being taught and searching and finding intentionally, all of those things depend on God's interaction. He is constantly showing us what is what, introducing us to people he wants us to know, putting us in situations that we can learn from. Proverbs 2:6 tells us, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." That is what we need to always remember. When we bump into somebody that is someone that we had always wanted to meet, and they happen to be there, that's not just coincidence. That's a God incidence, right? He's putting us there for a reason. When we pick up the phone to call somebody and we find out they're calling us, that's intentional on God's part. We have these things happen time and time and time again. He places us in the right situations with the right people intentionally so that we can learn from that, or we can help other people learn from what we know. And that's where Paul was with the Greeks at that point. He was there intentionally. He may not have known it. He didn't head out to go there intentionally. He got kicked out of a few places first before he ended up on a boat that happened to go there to let them know about the unknown God. There are simply no coincidences in this life. God brings us into the right position at the right time. John 8:32 tells us, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That is so important. And we need to continue to be open to the truth like the Greeks. We need to be open to new ideas, to new thoughts, to new ways to approach things. Think here. As I was researching for this message, I also learned things myself. I think that's what's so fascinating. God leads us in so many different directions. So even this is kind of a side route, I thought was important to share some of what I learned this week. The Chinese knew about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Did you know that? I didn't. It's over 7,000 miles as the crow flies from Jerusalem to China. Over 7,000 miles. They had no technology to communicate over long distances. Neither did the people in Jerusalem. But according to Herb, the seventh year of the Chinese emperor, Guangwu, it's recorded that, this is a quote, "Summer, fourth month of the year, on the day of Ren Wu, the imperial edict reads, Ying and Yang have mistakenly switched, and the sun and moon were eclipsed. The sins," and this is a quote from a Chinese people, "are now on one man. Pardon is proclaimed to all under heaven." That's amazing, isn't it? He goes on further. He says, "In the history of the later Han, Annals number 18, Guihai, it is written, eclipse on the day of Guihai. Man from heaven died." That's pretty eye-opening, isn't it? They had no idea who Jesus was, where he was, or what was happening, but they witnessed the three-hour darkening of the entire earth. And the Holy Spirit apparently spoke to them, enabling them to realize what had happened. 3 days later, in their documents, it's written, 3 days later, the Chinese recorded a rainbow that encircled the sun like a halo. This is a quote. "During the reign of Emperor Guangwu on the day of Bingyin, on the fourth month of Yanwu, a halo, a rainbow encircled the sun. So what benefit is brought about through learning things that were unknown related to the Chinese? It says, Brian Bissell wrote, in Evidence of Jesus' Birth, Death, and Resurrection from Chinese History, he wrote, noted historian Dr. McCullough wrote, Christian beliefs are of immense value both to individuals and to society and to nature. They result in a wisdom and altruism that is of benefit to all. That is why I hope more and more people will accept them. And Wang Zeming, co-leader of the Tiananmen Square protests, wrote, where is it here? As he surveyed 5,000 years of Chinese history, he believes that the belief in God who revealed himself to them and who is the same God of the Bible leads to equality, peace, and thriving. While belief in false belief in false religions, secularism, crime, and much loss of life. I can't agree more. To many people, God may still be unknown, but we can know the unknown, as can others. We can know them through happenstance, led by the Holy Spirit. We can know them by the teaching of others, whether or by seeking him out because he's ready to be found. Paul was doing what he was supposed to do, even though he didn't intend to be there. And it's also interesting that he just happened to find the idol to the unknown God out of the 3,000 gods and idols and altars that were there to see. He happened to see that. And it was impressed upon him. He needed to say something about it. We need to remember that. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whatever circumstance we find ourselves, God is talking to us and leading us to the right place to either learn more ourselves or to help teach others. Amen? If you're able, please stand for our closing hymn. It is This Is My Father's World, number 144 in the hymnal. Lord, as we leave this place, may we feel your Spirit move within us. May it give us ears to hear and hearts willing to follow wherever you may lead. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.